There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.
Have you ever heard your pastor or the church leader say something like this, that they have heard from God? It's kind of a little colloquial phrase common in church life. They heard from God. And sometimes you don't even stop and think about what it means. Well, I heard from God, and this is what we ought to do. And you just accept it without even questioning it. Well, the pastor said he heard from God. I guess he hears from God. But have you ever stopped and wondered, how does he hear from God? In what way does he hear an audible voice? Has God got a message for him that he doesn't give to anyone else? And when he says, I heard from God, how close is that to thus saith the Lord? Like we would from, say, Scripture, thus saith the Lord, or this is the word of the Lord. If he claims that he is hearing from God. Welcome back to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Chris Roseborough of Fighting for the Faith will join us for This Week in Pop American Christianity Today, Evangelical Leaders Hearing the Voice of God. A little bit later in the last half hour, we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week, 4 soundbites to play for you. Then you give us a call, 1-877-623-6943. You send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc. Go to our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, and your vote decides which will be Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Your opportunity to win the LPR bundle package. That's an I Have Issues t-shirt, an Issues Etc. travel mug, pen, bumper sticker, mouse pad, and notepad. To the listener with the best vote for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week on this Friday afternoon. Joining us for This Week in Pop American Christianity to talk about evangelical leaders hearing the voice of God, Chris Roseborough, a regular guest, pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of the internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
Chris, coming off a sermon review of Ed Young Jr., and he did what a lot of evangelical pastors have been doing for a long time. He set up a couch, sat down and had a casual conversation with some ladies in his congregation. And we've noticed this more and more. I think it started with Willow Creek in the late 90s, where kind of the conversation interview TV talk show style of message became in vogue. I mean, these are churches that started with pulpits, went to kind of the minimalist stand. Then they went through the wandering years where the pastor kind of wandered around on the stage as he talked. And then he found a stool, a Starbucks stool with a tall coffee table to sit at for a while, usually the obligatory latte next to him. And now we're back to the couches. What's going on here, Chris?
You got to understand, in the seeker-driven way of thinking, church is not for believers. It is not for people who are Christians. Church is for the unconvinced. It's for the unbeliever. And so the idea is by bringing in all of these cultural trappings and you know, completely changing the format and coming up with something that they're culturally familiar with, which would be kind of the Dr. Phil interview type, you know, television set thing, that would be something that a so-called seeker would be familiar with, and the topics what's talked about and discussed in that format would be things that address their felt needs. And so the whole idea behind this is that this is a very overt way of basically saying, this is not a traditional church, this is not a church for believers, we do church for unbelievers, and that's what they're doing. And so that's the whole purpose behind that, in order to, you know, to make the church as broadly appealing as possible so that an unbeliever will feel comfortable, and then thereby feeling comfortable, they'll be ready to make next steps in making a decision, you know, to apply Jesus's principles to their life and to make their life better and things like that. That's what that's all about.
So this is about appealing to and somehow luring in the unconvinced and kind of the bait and switch rather than just the bold proclamation of law and gospel and Christ and Him crucified.
That's correct. In fact, their way of thinking, you don't preach to people in order to convince them of anything. You know, no. You gotta show them that Jesus cares about them and that we care about them and their felt needs. And so you meet people where their felt needs are at, and then they'll start to believe that they need to make some decisions, to take this Jesus thing a little bit more seriously.
To our subject at hand, how prevalent is this teaching of hearing the voice of God or God spoke to me in Pop American Christianity?
It is prevalent. It is in the mainstream of evangelicalism, and with very few exceptions, you're going to find this pretty much everywhere now. And it's funny that the first soundbite we're going to listen to is kind of the standard text that everybody goes to on this, and then there's other texts. We'll listen to Rick Warren talking about this, but the general idea in evangelicalism is that the Holy Spirit is kind of like the Force in Star Wars, and a Christian is like a Jedi, and then the Jedi learns how to get in tune with the Force, so a Christian gets in tune with the Holy Spirit and learns how to feel the Holy Spirit's emanations and things speaking into their hearts and guiding and getting direct revelation. And so this is really, this is a predominant teaching, and it's very much akin to Star Wars' idea of the Force and Jedis.
Okay, we're going to hear from Carrie Shook. Who is Carrie Shook, and what should we be listening for?
Carrie Shook is the vision casting leader at Woodlands Church in Woodlands, Texas, and he also has a television program associated with his sermons and his preaching ministry. And this past week, he did a sermon on using the theme of The Voice, using the hit television TV show The Voice as kind of the stage theme, and use that as an opportunity to teach people on how to hear the voice of God.
So we're starting this new series on how to hear the voice, the only voice that really matters, God's voice. I mean, how do you really know if it's God speaking to your heart or it's just you thinking it up? I mean, God's never spoken to me in an audible voice. I guess He knows that would freak me out too much, but He speaks to my heart every day. And the real secret to true success in life is learning how to recognize and respond to God's voice, learning how to listen and obey. But we're going to start this weekend by just talking about what God's voice sounds like, the characteristics of God's voice, because that's the first thing you need to start getting accustomed to, is what is His voice like? So would you open your Bibles to John chapter 10? Anyone refusing to walk through the gate into a sheepfold who sneaks over the wall must surely be a thief. For a shepherd comes to the gate. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice and come to him. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. He walks ahead of them and they follow him, for they recognize his voice. They won't follow a stranger, but will run from him, for they don't recognize his voice. So God has the voice of a good shepherd, the Bible tells us. And when you come into his fold, you become one of his sheep, you get accustomed to the sound of his voice. The longer you're a Christ follower and the more you tune into him and tune other things out, the more you learn to recognize the characteristics of God's voice.
Now, I noticed something there, Chris. He didn't actually tell me how to recognize God's voice. He just said you will the longer you're a Christian.
That's correct. And so you'll notice what he did was, this is called proof texting. He's not actually exegeting John chapter 10 and teaching us what Jesus meant when he said that my sheep hear my voice. Instead, he basically says that, see, Jesus' voice is like a shepherd's voice. And so it's like that, and that's how you'll learn how to recognize it, which is not what this text is saying at all. I think it's important that when anybody, and it doesn't matter if it's a Lutheran pastor or an evangelical pastor is preaching to you God's word, if they're taking verses and kind of jumping you into the middle of a section of Scripture, it's important to put it back into its context. And it's important to note in this particular passage that Jesus is making a contrast between himself, the true shepherd of the sheep, and the false teachers, who would be the Pharisees. And the Pharisees, they were physically hearing Jesus' voice with their actual ears, but they weren't following him. And so, Jesus in this passage is making a distinction between the true shepherd and false teachers and the hirelings. And so this is not a passage that's teaching us that that Jesus is going to speak to us inaudibly in our heart, and that if we're truly his sheep, then we're going to learn how to tune in and hear his voice that way. And unfortunately, this is how this passage is used in much of evangelicalism, and the impact that this has on people, this is very important, is that many people hearing this passage preached this way have never heard Jesus talk to them or never felt Jesus speaking into their hearts, and immediately the way this is preached is that, well, there must be something wrong with me. I must not be spiritually mature. Jesus must not love me. I must have upset Jesus because he's not talking to me. It says in this passage, my sheep hear my voice, but I've never heard Jesus' voice, so I must be doing something wrong, which, by the way, is one of the signs that somebody's actually twisting God's word when it comes to this, because what happens then is that hearing God's voice becomes a mark, if you would, of true spiritual maturity. And of course, if you're not hearing God's voice, then you're not truly spiritually mature. In fact, you may not even be a Christian at all, is the way this is taught. And so this is an utter confusion of law and gospel, and it makes it so that somehow, somebody can say, I'm really more spiritually mature than you are because I hear God's voice and you don't. And yet we read in Scripture that, in the book of Acts, that people who were Christians for mere minutes, mere seconds upon their baptism, they receive the Holy Spirit and they prophesy and they speak in tongues. And these are people who you would not say are mature Christians. They're just starting off in their discipleship journey, and yet trusting and believing in Christ and being baptized, they received the gift of the Holy Spirit, and there was no growth and maturity at all for them to have these manifestations of the Spirit. So, for somebody to teach this in this way, they are literally utterly confusing law and gospel and creating some kind of a two-tiered Christianity where there's the mature people, they're getting it right because they're hearing God's voice, and then there's everyone else, the plebeians down in the ghetto. If they would just get their act together, they too can be like me and hear God's voice. That's how this gets played out.
The next piece comes from Rick Warren of Saddleback Church in California. What is he going to be telling us?
Well, Rick Warren is going to be making in this first soundbite the claim that that God wants to talk to us, and you got to get that down, and then he'll start to introduce the passage that he's going to base this on.
And the truth is, God does speak to people, and he wants to speak to you. How do you hear God? How do you tune into God? How do you know when it's God talking? How do you know when it's just you talking to yourself? How do you know when it's the devil talking to you? How do you know when it's the pizza you ate last night that's talking to you? And we're going to look at some ways. I'm going to give you 7 ways to test a phony message. How do you know when it's not really from God? And there are ways in the Bible that tell us how to know when God's talking to you and when it's not God. Now, the fact is, you could go out and you could buy the finest radio around, a Bose Wave radio. But if you don't tune it in, you're still not going to receive anything. If you don't tune it in, you're not going to be able to hear, no matter how great a radio it is. You've got to be tuned in. Now, the point is, God has already given you the capacity to hear him. The Bible says you were made in his image. That's what makes human beings different from animals. You are not like an animal. Animals don't pray. Animals don't communicate to God. Animals can't hear from God. But you can, because you're made in God's image. And all the equipment that you already need to hear God, you've got. You just have to learn how to tune it in.
All right, Chris, with about a minute here before we take our break, again, he didn't give us any objective way of telling who's talking, who's doing the talking. He just said, you have to tune in.
Right, and so, now the question I have looking at myself is, what knob am I supposed to turn, and what frequency am I supposed to set that knob to so that I can hear God speaking? So what he does is he goes with a metaphor that we all understand. We all remember radios, and I don't know if some people still use them. I mean, it's been a long time since I've used an FM or AM radio, but I know that certain radio stations are broadcast on certain frequencies, and so you'd turn the dial and you'd tune in and you can listen to your favorite music or news or things like that. And so he starts off with kind of a metaphor. It makes the claim God wants to talk to you, and you're just like a radio. You have all the equipment necessary. You've got to learn how to dial it in so that you can hear God's voice, because apparently God's up there shouting at you, you know, but he's on a particular frequency, and you haven't learned how to dial in so that you can hear what he's saying. I mean, the Bible nowhere teaches this. So he goes with something we all understand, and we're sitting there, oh, I get it. But the problem is he hasn't actually made his case from Scripture.
Chris Roseborough is our guest. We are walking through some of the prominent teachers of hearing the voice of God on This Week in Pop American Christianity. Chris is host of a daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. When we come back, some more, perhaps some more proof texting from Rick Warren. Would you like to help a college or seminary student attend the Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference? You can purchase a conference scholarship for a donation of $100 to Issues, Etc. To donate online, fill out the registration form at issuesetc.org and insert scholarship in the first name field. Or you can make your $100 check payable to Issues, Etc., write scholarship in the memo line, and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234.
Do you wish your Lutheran school offered Latin, Greek, or logic? What about German or calculus? Right now, local Lutheran schools in two different states are utilizing Wittenberg Academy to expand their course offerings. Whether it's Latin for third graders or logic for seniors in high school, Wittenberg Academy can help. For your homeschooler, or for your brick-and-mortar Lutheran school, we have solutions. To find out more, visit WittenbergAcademy.org.
Essential exercise for the Christian mind. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, Etc. 300. Our Savior Lutheran, Westminster, Massachusetts. Redeemer Lutheran, Fairhope, Alabama. St. Matthew Lutheran, Stony Plain, Alberta, Canada. Holy Cross Lutheran, Moline, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, Munster, Indiana. St. John Lutheran, Racine, Wisconsin. Calvary Lutheran, Baltimore, Maryland. Reformation Lutheran, Afton, Missouri. Emmanuel Lutheran, Lima, Ohio. Risen Lord Lutheran, Taylorsville, Kentucky. Prince of Peace Lutheran, Crystal Lake, Illinois. And Trinity Lutheran, Elmore, Ohio. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues, Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click support, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes a congregational sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues, Etc. journal, the Issues, Etc. 300.
I've seen G.I. Jane, and that's how I know that we're not the weaker vessel, because that lady was really tough. That is not the standard or the norm for any of us.
Because of the cross, there is intimacy between the believer and Christ, as rich as the intimacy between God the Father and God the Son.
He has not gone away. He is present for us in his body and blood, in holy baptism, in holy absolution, in the Bible, in the preaching of the church.
If my relationship with my wife was based only on the day we were married, and she asked me, why don't you ever say you love me? And my response was, I told you I loved you on the day that we were married, and if you want to hear me say it again, then that means that you didn't believe that I was sincere on the day that we were married. Well, that's not true.
In about 15 minutes, we're going to play Issues, Etc. soundbite of the week on this Friday afternoon, the 15th of May. We'll play four soundbites for you. All you have to do is listen, and then after you've heard the four that we play for you, you give us a call, send us an email, send us a tweet, or go to our Facebook fan page, and you vote for Issues, Etc. soundbite of the week. The listener with the best vote will get the LPR bundle package. That's an I Have Issues t-shirt, an Issues, Etc. travel mug, bumper sticker, mouse pad, and notepad. It goes to the listener with the best vote when we play Issues, Etc. soundbite of the week here in about 15 minutes on the program. In the meantime, it's This Week in Pop American Christianity. We're talking about evangelical leaders saying that they hear the voice of God. Chris Roseborough, Fighting for the Faith, is our guest. What's next, Chris?
Well, we're going to listen to Rick Warren's biblical justification. You have to put that in air quotes for, you know, this teaching that he's giving, that God wants to speak to you, and that you need to learn how to tune in.
The farmer represents God, and the seed represents God wanting to talk to you, God's word to you. And the soil represents four different attitudes that you can have toward hearing from God. Four different responses, four different heart responses or mind responses. Now let's look at, how do I prepare to hear God's voice? Well, there are four things in this story. First, number one, if you want to hear God speak, you must first cultivate an open mind. Cultivate an open mind. Now, what does that mean? It means you've got to be receptive. You've got to be willing. You've got to be open. You've got to be eager. You've got to be ready. Because the number one barrier to hearing God speak is resistance. I don't think I need to hear God speak. I don't believe God can speak. And so many people are even closed to the possibility that God might speak to them. Listen, if you don't think God can or will speak to you, guess what? He won't.
All right, Chris, so what's Warren saying there? What's he doing?
Well, he's taking the parable of the sower from Matthew chapter 13. And if you remember it, you know, Jesus talks about how a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell on a path, and birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky soil. Some of it fell on soil where there was no ability for the plants to take roots, and other, you know, fell among thorns, and some fell on good soil. And so the way Rick Warren tells this parable, he basically says what this is about is that Jesus wants to speak directly to your heart. And if you want to hear from Jesus, then it's up to you to make sure that you have cultivated the right soil in order to receive those direct messages from Jesus. And earlier in the sermon, we didn't play it as a soundbite, but earlier in the sermon, his justification for this is due to the fact where it says that the sower went out and sowed some seed, that that the sowing there is what's called broadcast sowing. You know, where a sower or farmer takes seed and just broadcasts it, and because that's the kind of sowing it is, that means that this is the word of God being broadcast. You know, in the same way that radio waves are broadcast. So you have to cultivate in your heart, make sure you have the right soil so that you can tune in and hear what God is broadcasting. That's literally what he's doing with this parable.
So again, I want to emphasize this. He has offered no objective way outside yourself to determine whether it's God, just put it in the starkest terms, Chris, whether it's God speaking to you or the devil speaking to you. He's given us no objective criteria by which to know the difference between the two, only subjective advice on how to tune in and how to be open-minded to God speaking to you.
That's correct. Now, in the later sermon in the series, Rick will try to give seven different criteria for trying to determine if it's God or the devil or yourself. But the thing is that there's no biblical text that teaches this. And this parable of the sower and the seeds, yes, the seed represents the word of God. But see, that's the thing. It represents the word of God. And that's not talking about some subjective thing that God wants to speak into your heart. That's talking about actually somebody preaching the message of Christ and him crucified for our sins, for your salvation. And I would point people to that if they really think that, you know, that we are, as Christians, are supposed to hear God's voice, let me remind them again what the Apostle Paul wrote literally as he was awaiting execution by the Emperor Nero. And he writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3. He says, continue in what you've learned, firmly believe, knowing from whom you learned it, how from childhood you've been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation. All Scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete and equipped for every good work. The Apostle Paul, at the end of his life, is not pointing Timothy to some inner subjective feelings that he's supposed to be listening to. Instead, he's pointing him to the written, objective Word of God, and he says that the Word of God, and he's writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is going to make a Christian complete and equipped for every good work. What we need is the written word of God. And that, if you want to hear God speaking to you, then you need to open up your Bible and read it. If you want to hear God speaking to you audibly, then read your Bible out loud. This is what, this is, and you have to understand, this is where we go to hear God speak, not within our heart. And the written word of God doesn't teach us to go subjective. But what's fascinating is that everybody who teaches that God wants to speak to you subjectively, they have to twist the written word of God to make it look like it says that. John chapter 10 doesn't teach it. Matthew chapter 13 doesn't teach it. And you can always tell when somebody turns it into a law that they're also twisting it. And the last soundbite kind of makes it really clear that we're dealing with a total confusion of law and gospel, which shows that this is not sound teaching at all.
If you want to hear what God is saying to you, there's one little secret you need to know. You must decide in advance that you're going to do whatever God tells you to do before He tells you. You see, God wants to talk to you, but He also wants you to do what He says. He's not going to share His word if you're not willing to do it in advance.
Okay, take that one apart.
So that's the contingent. And, you know, Rick Warren, basically God's sitting up in heaven. He wants to talk to you. You got to learn how to dial in. But see, even if you learn how to dial in, He's not going to speak to you until He sees that you are 100% willing to obey whatever He tells you to do, regardless of what it is. And until you do that, then He's not willing to speak to you.
If Rick Warren were right, okay, laying aside the issue of God speaking, you know, apart from His external word, just God speaking, period. If Warren were right, would God speak to anyone?
No, He would never speak to any of us, ever. We would all be born dead in trespasses and sins and die in trespasses and sins. But see, God was merciful in speaking to us and dying for us and communicating to us the gospel even when we were dead. God reaches from heaven to us. He comes down and is incarnate of the Holy Spirit. In fact, Jesus is the Word of God made flesh. And He does this and He comes into the darkness because of His great love for us. Ultimately, at the end of the day, the people who are teaching that God wants to speak into your heart, it always turns into an utter confusion of law and gospel, and it's all about abject obedience. And of course, if you're hearing from God, then you're mature. You're the one who's made the decision to obey, and so everybody needs to follow your example, and all the glory goes to you, not God.
The potential for as I would just call it, kind of innocuously, mischief with this kind of teaching. Okay, first of all, Rick Warren says you got to decide even before God says anything to you. You have to decide to obey whatever He says. Then on that condition, and that condition alone, He might talk to you. Then you've bought a pig in a poke. Whatever you think God said to you, you're obligated to do. You're not even asking anymore whether or not it's God who said it to you, or yourself, or the devil, or whatever. This seems quite contrary to test the spirits to see whether they are of God.
That's absolutely correct. This cuts you off from objectively testing to see whether or not the message is from God, which is what Scripture tells us to do. And not only that, this then kind of forms the basis, if you would. You know, this is a core doctrine within evangelicalism, which then later becomes the foundation on which they build vision casting on. You know, the vision casting leader, he has decided in his heart to obey whatever God tells him to do, and God says, I want you to do church for the unchurched. I want you to set up couches on stage and be relevant to the unbeliever, and I don't want you to listen to Christians who are complaining about the fact they're not getting sound doctrine. You stop listening to them and you listen to me. In order for the gospel to be relevant, we have to reach the unbeliever where he's at. So listen to me and obey. And this then, you know, this forms the basis for the whole shooting match when it comes to vision casting.
So this is why the vision casting leader can eventually say, look, I know I hear from God. I don't know about you. So, and since it's God, and I've already decided I'm going to obey, you got to get on with my vision as though it came from God Himself.
Oh, yeah, and if you don't get on board with His vision, if you decide to be a detractor or somebody who challenges the vision biblically, they will throw you out. and basically justify it by saying this person is not on board with what God has told us to do. This is why Mars Hill and Mark Driscoll bragged about the fact that there was a pile of dead bodies behind the Mars Hill bus, because they didn't get on board with the vision. And who'd the vision come from? It came from God. And this is the doctrine, you're hearing it taught to, the lay people, that forms the basis for vision casting.
Do you have any doubt, Chris, because they've both raised the possibility, both Carrie Shook and then Rick Warren, at least initially, that it could be the devil who's talking to the Christian. Do you have any doubt that it is, in some cases, the devil who's providing these visions for the vision casting leaders?
I have absolutely no doubt that it is the devil who's at the heart of all of this. And the reason for this is simple, is because the devil is the father of lies. And when somebody takes God's word and twists it the way the devil twisted it when he was tempting Jesus in the wilderness, and creates entire doctrines that people are supposed, like duty-bound to believe, that are not really true, and they're confusing law and gospel, this is the devil's game. This is not this is not how the Holy Spirit operates. And so, and Scripture clearly says that in the last days, people would follow doctrines of demons. And I think this is one of them.
Finally, Chris, give us a little preview of tonight's Fighting for the Faith.
Today we're going to be tackling some email, as well as listening to a Mother's Day performance of the Frost song "Let It Go," performed by Granger Community Church.
Okay, sounds amusing. You folks, you can listen to Chris Roseborough and Fighting for the Faith in a half hour at piratechristianradio.com, piratechristianradio.com. You can also meet and hear Chris at next month's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. He's going to be doing a little bit more of what you've heard him do already, making the case against vision casting leaders in the church. The conference is Friday, June the 19th, and Saturday, June the 20th, in Collinsville, Illinois, about 15 miles east of St. Louis. Registration is $100. It includes three meals. Register and find out more at issuesetc.org. You can also contact Craig for any help you might need. It's Craig at issuesetc.org, or give him a call, 618-223-8385. The premier conference for the laity, the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 19th and 20th in Collinsville, Illinois. When we come back, a little bit of Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. Chris, thank you very much.
Thank you, Todd.
Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, email, Google Plus. Simple ways that you can share Issues Etc. programs with your friends, relatives, and fellow parishioners. Just go to Listen on Demand Archives at issuesetc.org and look for the share feature images posted beneath each audio segment. You're only one click away from telling someone about Issues Etc. The Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org, and look for Share This.
At Redeemer Lutheran Church in Fort Wayne, we are mostly looked down upon by cool people. They're always telling us that we take ourselves too seriously. That, apparently, is the uncoolest thing on the planet. We are theological nerds. We get more incensed by bad exegesis than a group of comic book fans who find out the hero was just dreaming. Some people want us to calm down, but we aren't going to. Redeemer, Fort Wayne, haven for theological nerds.
Why do you think the way you do? And what about your friends, your neighbors, your church? Is it because of what the Scriptures say, or is it because they only think what the world has told them to think?
Pastor Jonathan Fisk talking about his presentation at this summer's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
Making the case for the church's response to postmodernism will be a crash course in the who's who of the postmodern pagan mindset, with a hard-hitting look at both the assumptions of the American pop culture world and the rarely mentioned but catastrophic effects that may not yet affect you, but will certainly affect your children.
You can meet and hear Pastor Jonathan Fisk making the case for the church's response to postmodernism, June 19th and 20th, at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, visit issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. Don't wait to register. Attendance is limited to 400. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
The cross is our theology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Imagine SteadfastLutherans.org as the internet version of your neighborhood pub. Your neighborhood confessional Lutheran pub, that is, where the finest in Lutheran conversation is going on at every table and at the bar, sometimes contentious, but always informative and unabashedly Lutheran. We're only serving Wittenberg Ale. We even have a guy named Norm, so check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.org. We'll save a seat at the bar for you.
Have you recently graduated from high school or college and are still making up your mind about your future career? Here's an opportunity to serve your neighbor through an extended, uniquely Lutheran service program. It's called the Lutheran Youth Corps. Find out more about the Lutheran Youth Corps at lcms.org/youthcorps. Life together through witness and mercy, the Lutheran Youth Corps. lcms.org/youthcorps.